Starting. And we're live. What embargo?
We're live.
Big tuna. Yellow snapper.
How's it going, man?
Oh, that was crazy. What was that?
That was my notification on my phone that we're live.
We're live. Nice.
Yeah.
We're live. What embargo is live. You know, you're in California. I thought it might have been like an earthquake or something. But
no, we don't. Yeah, that's not funny. We don't joke about that shit over here.
We don't joke about that stuff in California. But today we are talking about the 18th Habanos Festival, the 50th anniversary of Cohiba. Big year for Habanos.
Yeah, and a little bit of a news as well on the anniversary front is 20th anniversary for Cohiba. For the two people that really probably care about that.
You had to talk about Cohiba. I mean, we were going to talk about Cohiba, but you had to fucking bring up Cohiba the announcement. Dude, there's a couple Cohiba guys out there. So, on a total random note, by the way, this is before we get into it. I forgot to eat dinner last night, and I had some, like, naan. I made tikka masala, and I forgot to eat it, but I was like, dude, I'm just going to have a hot dog.
Wow, you made tikka masala? Wait. By the way, did you go to Trader Joe's and made that, or are you talking to like you fucking made it?
What, the tikka masala?
Yeah.
Yeah, I made it. I didn't go to Trader Joe's. I made it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, man, made it. So instead of eating the tikka masala, I was like, okay, I'm going to have my naan and I'm going to have my hot dog. So I just heated up the naan, heated up the hot dog, put the hot dog in the naan, did my little ketchup mustard, rolled it up. I was like, dude, this is really fucking good. I'm like, what would I call this? I got a name for it. It's called the Slumdog Millionaire.
I knew you were going to say that.
Anytime I was like, I want to find a hot dog place, walking in Becky, yo, give me a Slumdog Millionaire. And like, what the fuck is a Slumdog Millionaire? So,
and all of them look at you and be like, who's this freaking gringo?
Yeah, who's this fucking gringo? Exactly.
Nice.
That's my little spiel, man. Slumdog Millionaire. But anyways, so the Habanos Festival is over. A lot of, you know, there's a good number of releases, I think, this year, Tyler.
Yeah, a lot. Stuff that we haven't seen in a few years of just, I think in general, Habanos SA is swinging hard for the fences for the upcoming anticipation of the embargo.
They're going big.
Yeah. So how about we do this? How about we break up kind of, you know, what regular production is coming out, and then we'll kind of touch upon the LCDH stuff, and then the LEs, and we'll kind of subcategorize it in that sense. Is that cool?
Yeah. That's what I was, you broke up for a little bit. So I think the first thing we should talk about is the regular production release.
Yes.
Did you see this one? The Medio Siglo.
Right. So let's talk about that, because that's definitely one of the highlights of the regular production release. So my understanding is this guy is somewhere in cross between the Linea line and then the classic line, right? So
Classica 1492. Yeah, I kind of heard that it was. I heard it was a cross, but I also heard it was closer to like the Seagull line.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're looking at the ring gauge, we're looking straight at basically the Seagull 6, right?
It's a 52, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's just that it's truncated down to a 4-inch. So it's a 4x6 52, and otherwise kind of known as a lot of folks deem this as a somewhat of, I guess, a petite Robusto-ish.
Petit Edmundo-ish.
Yeah.
It's a cool size. It's a good size.
Yeah. What do you think, man? I mean, did you think that – are you excited about this release? Like, what are your thoughts? Was this warranted? You know.
This is honestly looking over all the releases. And this is probably the second most excited cigar I am about. Now, granted, it's regular production, but this is, you know, I think this is a great addition to the Cohiba brand. You have a Petit Robusto. You can get them in the tubes. You know, I just think it's going to be a good price. It's going to be a good size, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's a win.
Yeah, no, I hear you, because this cigar makes me feel like, well, so let's say that typically when I have that, you know, half an hour to 40-minute smoking time that I want to, you know, in a way, enjoy myself and reward myself. And I go Cohiba, I do Siglo One.
Yeah.
So for the times where I want to smoke a little longer than a Siglo One, but this will be exactly what I will pick up.
Yes.
And I'm really excited for this because typically within, especially regular production, when it's their original run of something, when Habano SA releases the original run of something, it's something that's usually typically a little better than subsequent releases. And I'm really looking for that aspect of it. And I'm going to go, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to buying a few boxes of these just so I smoke in the beginning and then to just kind of, you know, let it age and let it set for a little bit. Because in general, I mean, within any marca that it's going to be released, I was talking to a couple of buddies that's down at Habano's Festival, or, well, that was just down there. In general, they said everything that got as samples were strong and bold and flavorful, which is very interesting, I thought. Like, even, like, you know, Kuwaba and, like, the Hoya stuff was – a lot of folks said that it was on the bolder, stronger side. And I don't see why this Cohiba would want to be anything like that. And plus, like, I'm a total sucker for collecting Cohiba stuff. Like, I collect all the Linea lines and then, you know, the Coros and SBs and all that stuff. So super stoked to put this in the lineup.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I saw this and I was like, 25 count box. Without a doubt, a little bit shorter than a Petita Mundo, but I think it's gonna deliver. I think it's gonna be a big success.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about
one for one right there.
What's up?
We're one for one. We're both on it.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the other regular production stuff. I'll just kind of name them off, and then we could talk about them. We got a Partagas Siri E number 2, which is a 140 by 54. We have another Partagas called the Capital, which is it's like basically 5-inch by 42. We have a new H Upmint Magnum 54, which is a 4.25 by 54. And a couple of the, I didn't get any specifics on this, but I heard that they're doing another combination selection Robusto in the pyramids, but I'm not exactly sure what Marcus are represented. I assume it's going to be the same Marcus. Not the same Marcus, but different Marcus. But I don't know exactly the details behind that. But let's talk about the two Partagas and the H Upmints.
H Upmint 54. I bet it'll be good. The first batch. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting size. I'm not super excited for it, but I love H. Upmint, so there's a part of me that's looking forward to it. It's an interesting size, but I bet it'll be good. I bet the first couple will be solid releases.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy the fact that, I mean, honestly, like I'm. You know, kind of taking a look at it, I'm pretty happy about the new production stuff. Extremely happy about that Cohiba Media Siglo, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And then in terms of H. Upmint Mag 54, I don't think they released another mag until, I think the last one they released was like in 2008.
Well, yeah, 50 was once a Limitada. And then so then the big success for it, they turned it into the Magnum 50.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like within the Partagas offerings, it might be a little too much in that profile, in that marca. Because they already have, you know, stuff that's around that same ring gauge and length size in general. Because I feel like Partagas has quite a big portfolio. So I don't know.
It's a big portfolio. I think you don't really need to add on the Partagas portfolio, in my opinion. What was the Partagas again?
I'm sorry?
What was the Partagas offering again? I missed the Partagas one.
Sure. So this is one of them is called the Partagas Siri E number 2, It's a tube size, which is a 5.5 by 54. So pretty thick ring gauge guy. And the other one's called Partagas Capitals, which is a it's essentially a 5-inch by 42.
The E2's been out for a while.
Well, this one's really. Oh, maybe I got the information that's outdated.
E2's been out for like 5 years. Unless they release in like a tube or something, but maybe they
maybe the literature's not right on this, but I hear that this is a 5.5 by 54. Is that the E2 that you know of?
Yeah. The Duke. It's Robusto Extra.
Oh,
I just looked it up too. Oh, I smoked it. I hate it, by the way.
Oh, I never had it. That's actually one that I hadn't even heard of.
So. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. E2's, it's really, I look at it as, you know, you got the D4, the D5, and the D6.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like the classic D4. Then you have the D5, which I like it. It's just a smaller D4 offering, but I think it's better. And then the D6 really is just like a really tiny D4 offering. And the E2 is just like a flat D4. I think it's like, I look at it as like the Monte Cristo Edmundo for the Petit Edmundo. It's just flat compared to the Petit Edmundo.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
but I know other people who freaking love it.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about regular production Partagas, that's on the thicker reading gauge. I still go back to the, you know, classic PSD4s.
Yeah,
I don't really mess with anything that's outside of that line, I guess. I mean, there's so much out there. It's almost like, all right, I don't really see a lot of it on special, like the Serie E stuff and all that. So, you know, I don't really go after and I don't want it enough to actually go buy and go search for like, quote unquote, more retail prices, non special prices. So
it's, I think for some of the passionate guys like you and I, we'd rather have them put some time into some of the other brands, but I just know a majority of the people out there want the bigger stuff.
Yeah.
The bigger brands.
Yeah. For sure. All right. I also see that there's a couple of La Casa de Habano exclusives. So one of them is a Hoyo de Monterrey Elegantes, which is it's a taco size. So it's a 158 by 47, which is it's roughly 6.2 inch by 47. Which is somewhat of a Churchill-ish territory. And then we have the other one that is a Punch Punch 48, which is a Hermosos number 3, 140 by 48, which is a 5.5 inch by 48. I mean, what are your thoughts? You excited about Hoyo and Punch?
Well, the oil is like it's like a double perfecto, isn't it?
Yeah,
kind of. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. Not really excited for it. I'm sure it'd probably be pretty good, to be honest with you. I never get excited by oil stuff, and then I smoke it, and I'm like, wow, that's really good. Yeah. the punch, I'm interested in.
Yeah, same here. For me, I don't think I've been disappointed by the LCDH releases in general. I've enjoyed pretty much all of them that I've had. And it's been so long since like LCDH exclusive came out for Hoyo and Punch. No, not Hoyo, but they had that deluxe a couple years or so ago. But I'm super excited about, I'm more excited about the Punch and see what that tastes like. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's good brands to add to it.
Yeah. So moving on to the limited edition stuff coming out for 16. So there's three of them.
Three this year.
Yeah. So they bring Monte Cristo back. They're calling it the Monte Cristo Dantes. which is a Hermosos number one, which is a 6.6 inch by 48 ring gauge.
What a great size.
Yeah. I was about to say
fantastic size. That's that I wouldn't be surprised if that's the winner by Selmet. 10 count box. I mean, that's going to be, I don't know. I want to drop my ladder. Monte Cristo is one of those brands that every Limitada I've had of Monte Cristo has been, since at least 2008, has just been fantastic.
Yeah.
They age well for many years. I mean, the Sublimes have gone downhill.
You're right.
But it's just, man, when they first come out, the flavors were fantastic. And then a couple of years, they're even better.
It's interesting because when I'm thinking about the Vitolas of like the 08 Sublimes, the 2010 the Gran Edmundos, and then the, what is it, the 12 520s?
520s, yeah. They got bigger.
Yeah, so I always kind of felt like, oh, man, like, you know, I wish there was that size where, you know, I could get that, you know, Churchill-ish ring gauge, and then I could still milk it for like a good hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours. And I think this guy's exactly what I'm looking for and what I've been looking for.
Yeah, 6x6, 48 is, you know, and this goes back to Pete Johnson with a lot of his Tatuaje stuff, especially with Fausto, had like a short Churchill, which was like 47 ring gauge with like six and a half inches. So it's just a little bit smaller than an actual Churchill. This is, you know, it's brought the size down just a little bit, but with that a little bit of a bigger ring gauge. I'm really excited about it. That's the one that really I'm like, okay, this is the Limitada this year that is to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. The next one, the LE16s, they're coming out with another Romeo Julieta. It's called the Capuletos. People always call this Rotola Sober Alien, but it's the how the fuck do I pronounce this? Sobres Alientes, which basically what I'm trying to say is it's a 6x53.
Yeah, they just made up a name for it. Yeah. Sobres Alientes, yeah, 6x53.
I don't know.
Why? Just why? I mean, it's like they did a nice Romeo LCDH last year, which is still kind of, to be honest, I just think the Romeo LCDH wasn't as popular as they're hoping. And now they're like, hey, let's just make it a little bit bigger and we'll make a Limitada out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Romeo Limitadas typically disappoint me.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, Romeos in general disappoint me. So.
No, that's a fair point. Yeah. So it's one of those, it's the Limitada that I was like, who cares? And then they put it in 25 count boxes. I was like, yeah, never mind. And I hate when they do. I hate when you do Limitadas in 25 count boxes. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I have to pay more for a Limitada count box. That's not it. I don't mind paying. You know, if you made a Monte Cristo Dantes Limitada in a 25 count box, awesome. That's great.
Yeah,
I'd still buy it. That's not the issue. I believe Limitada should be in 10 count boxes. I'm a strong believer that they always should be in 10 count boxes.
Yeah, I agree. Maximum 10. I mean, 15. But I think 25 is a little too much. Like, every time I get a 25, I'm like, well, I don't want to commit to this many, you know. Like, and it feels a little bit more special when I get them in 10 for some reason.
That's what I mean. I would rather have them do more boxes of the 10 count than just do 25 counts. Like, regionals, I don't care if they do a 25 count or 10 count. It's one of those, to me, when I see a 10 count regional, I think it's going to be a little bit more special, but it's not always the case. But yeah, Limitadas, I just make it 10 count, man. Just save everyone the hassle.
Yeah, I hear you. And then last but not least for the limited edition stuff is the Trinidad Topes. Which is a 4.9 by 56, so fat cigar. But every time I see Trinidad pop up, I can't help but get a little excited about it.
This is probably my number three of excited releases, because the Trinidad Vigia really turned it around. I think it's a brand that they are putting a little bit more time into. And I like the flavor profiles in a big cigar for Trinidad. I mean, Trinidad's, when they have big ring gauges, are really good.
Yeah, I remember the Robusto T when they came out. And that was when I, for the most part, that was on my earlier years of smoking Cuban cigars. And those are awesome, dude. I still love them.
Oh, yeah. So. The Fundadores is solid, too. Trinidad does really well with age, but this is, it's, you know, Trinidad, you know, the other thing is, you know, this is a 12-count box, which are like really 12-count, but that's just always what they've done. And it's one of those things that I think it's – the one I'm thinking about is the Robusto Extra. I bought some Trinidad Robusto Extras. They're discontinued now. But, oh, gosh, when did I buy those? 2009 maybe?
Yeah, nine sounds about right.
I remember I got them because I went up to Montreal, and I got some in Montreal. And I remember smoking one on my way back, and I was like, this is – I like left Montreal and I was lighting one up and I was like, I almost wanted to turn around and buy more. but it's
you can't find those anymore.
No, man.
And if you do want to find those, those are going for big bucks now. So
it's Trinidad is a brand that it's like Port Larranaga. I don't think a lot of people understand it. They don't understand what it needs. It needs a lot of time. But man, with age, those things are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, and I will say, without age, for the most part, I don't think they're worth smoking. So,
the Trinidad is the Eli Manning to the Cohiba, which is Peyton Manning.
Yes,
I'm bringing Peyton Manning in because he announced he did his retirement thing today. But it's that it doesn't have all those glorious stats, but man, when it comes to the Super Bowl, it wins. That's just saying.
Yeah. Are you sad that he's gone, by the way?
Dude, let me tell you something. Did you watch his retirement today?
No, I saw a little highlights clips of it, but I didn't watch the entire thing.
I was watching it and I was like, this is a great retirement. He did fantastic, by the way, talking to I'm smoking a Reyes from 2008.
Nice.
I think he just did a spectacular job, you know, retiring, announcing it, blah, blah, blah. It was beautiful. And I think what he should have done afterwards, I don't think he can. I think it's too late now, but it would have been great if he says that I'm announcing my candidacy for the Republican Party. if he had done that, I think everyone would have voted for him. And it was funny. I was like on Facebook, like right before the press conference, and you can see the number of people watching it. On Facebook. So it's like, I open up my iPhone. I'm looking at it. It's like, oh, wow. It was like 64,000 people are watching this. And then it's just like, numbers are like skyrocketing. It was like 72,000 people on Facebook were watching Peyton Manning's retirement. I'm like, it's just, dude, I'm sad. He's one of the greatest. I don't care what all the.
I mean, he's that good guy. He's that clean image, good guy, you know, sort of a thing going on. And people love that, right? It's the good old American story.
Dude, he's just paying.
Yeah.
He gave a shout out to the Patriot fans. He gave shout outs to Tom Brady. I mean, he was thanking everybody.
No.
So it was a class act. But yeah, so the Trinidad, that is the second. The two Limitadas I would buy are the Monte Cristo and the Trinidad this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my gut tells me.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with that. And then – moving on to Reserva. So this year's Reserva is the Hoyle de Monterey Epicure number 2, which is the Robusto one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, again, like what you were saying earlier, doesn't really excite me, but if I do smoke it, I'm sure it's good, but not really excited by it.
You know, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, if they kept it smoking like a typical Hoyo Epicure number 2. I don't think having it be made with tobacco from the 2012 harvest is going to make it any better than how solid they can be. You know what I mean? I don't think there's anything they can do if they're making an Epicure number two, whether it's with vintage tobacco or young tobacco. It's to me, it's almost you're paying a crap ton of money for an aged oil, a Hoyo number two.
Right.
Which,
so
buy a couple younger boxes.
Right.
Age one for 4 years. There you go, man. You don't even need the Reserva band. Yeah.
Well, that kind of makes me think, well, then the whole Reserva, Grand Reserva, and Añejados program, let's say, the whole concept behind the lure of all those is aged Habanos, right?
Yeah.
And within aged Habanos, I would assume that if you're going to come out with, you know, a pre-existing Vitola, that it should taste like that, but like a really, really good one, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you're going to, and, you know, listen, I was fortunate enough. I was in the right place at the right time with the right rich person to smoke one of those Siglo 6 Grand Reservas.
Oh, nice.
I smoked them. And let me tell you something. I could have smoked a regular Siglo 6 afterwards, and I probably would not have been able to tell the difference.
Huh.
I mean, it was just one of those. It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was great. But, man. Even a year old Siglo 6 can be really damn good.
Right.
And a couple year old.
Last year, they had some outstanding Siglo 6s that were fresh.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, that's the part where I don't really understand it. That makes me think. So, this is the part that kind of like makes me double question myself is, you know, a part of me is definitely a collector, right? I have a collector mindset. And what do I mean by that is, you know, I want to get the limited stuff. I like the fancy schmancy boxes and presentation and that kind of a thing. But within what Habanos SA is doing, it makes me really doubt that, right? Especially when reviews that are coming in and also within whatever I smoke within my own taste buds. For instance, I smoked a couple of the Monte No. 2 Grand Reservas.
Yeah.
I also smoked afterwards. One of my buddies, he has a box of number twos from 08 that are just absolutely lights out delicious.
Yeah.
And I smoked one of those afterwards, and I was like, I can't tell a difference.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
Yeah. And that makes me think, why the fuck do I have this? Like, I should sell these. It's not worth lighting that kind of a money up. Like, it really isn't, in my opinion.
And we're going to get to this when we start talking about the commitment of releases. Those releases are not made for cigar smokers.
Yes.
Right. They're not meant to be for, and I don't mean like you and I mean 99% of the people who understand and get it. It is meant to be for someone who is buying them just to buy them and hold on to them. Like it's
like for investment purposes and for show off sort of status.
I don't even think investment. I think if people are buying cigars for investment purposes, however you were able to make as much money as you did, you're a fucking retard. I mean, I don't understand. As a passionate cigar smoker, I'm not one of those people that's like sold by when someone says, oh, I have a box that's 15 years old. Like, I don't know the condition you had it in all those years. Right. You can auction it off, but you're auctioning it off to other people who would have bought it years ago, who just didn't have the chance to buy it years ago, but they bought something else years ago. It's a small circle. And I think every once in a while people want to get in it and buy the stuff. And they're like, oh, man. And then they're like, why'd I fucking buy this?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you.
The boxes are cool. The boxes are cool.
Yeah, they are. And this is and right now we're not talking the, you know, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. We're not talking about Cohiba 50th anniversary cabinet humidor, right? So. You know, that's just like, if you get that, you're like the 1% of 1%ers, or you're a fucking idiot if you're buying that, if you're not.
how you could get it otherwise, I don't know.
Exactly, right? So, But even within the Reserva and Grand Reserva line, let's say, you really come down to, you know, for me anyways, I come down to thinking about, well, at the end of the day, if whether it's a good cigar or not, it is only judged by my own taste buds. And that is absolutely subjective to only my personal opinion and my take on it, right?
Yes.
So if you come up with that perspective, you should never go deep into anything unless if your taste buds are certain that it's either going to age well or it's good right now.
Yes.
Right. So within this Reserva stuff, it's like, all right, Big Wheel Epi number two. I've had it. I've had some good ones. I had some decent ones. I never had a really bad one. But how good could it get, being that it's only Epi number two?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's – I get – you know, I've – and the other thing I've thought about is, okay, you have Reserve and you have Grand Reserves. To be a Grand Reserve, I think you need to pick – and I know this limits you because you pick from those global brands. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, if you want to make a Grand Reserve, I think you need to – I don't care what the brand is. Well, take that back. It should be a couple brands. But you have to pick that vitola of that brand that truly represents that brand.
Mm-hmm.
Like Romeo Y. Churchill was a Grand Reserve. But a yeah. Romeo Churchill was a Reserve.
Makes Are no you, fucking sense.
It yeah, makes no makes fucking sense. Like yeah. a Romeo Churchill – is worthy of a Grand Reserve. And it shouldn't be like, it should be like 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, it should be like 5 years tobacco. Or you just roll them in that year and you age them for all those years.
Yeah, it should be mature tobacco, in other words.
Yes. You know, H. Upman Sir Winston, Grand Reserve. Partagas Lusitania, which was a Grand Reserve, should be a Grand Reserve.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Oya Double Corona, that's a Grand Reserve. You know, for reserves, okay, you can play around with it. It's just, I don't know. I get the Reserva Cosecce. I think the Grand Reserva, I think they ruin Grand Reserva by with the Reservas. That's my
opinion. I totally agree. And really, when I think about what you're saying about what should be the Grand Reserva lines, we're talking pretty sizable cigars that if you spend that kind of money and to collect on, you want that 2 hour time to appreciate it, right? To take your time on.
A Ramon Iones Gigantes is a Grand Reserva, in my opinion, whether they would put it there or not. I mean, and that's one of those things I could justify them making a Ramon Iones Gigantes a Grand Reserva and having an astronomical price. I'm totally down with that. I think you could do it with like a punch double Corona.
Yeah.
You know, do it with something big. But do it big.
Right. No, I agree. It's just – I don't quite get it, dude. Like the more I see these releases come out – well, first of all, you know, a lot of these, especially when we get to the regional stuff, they're all proposed releases. And they lack so much on it. It could be a whole nother year typically for it to actually come out.
Yeah.
Right? And – I mean, that's I hear the whole, like, oh, it's just Cuba being Cuba, but that's bullshit, man. Like, you don't see anybody in the non-Cuba market doing that. It's like, well, people are ready with the, you know, packaging and everything, and they have a strict timeline of it when it comes out, and it comes out when they say it comes out. And I really appreciate that. I hate this, like, you know, this on the fence, you know, going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, they go back and forth really bad. There are some non-Cuban companies, I think, that announce things and it takes forever for them to get out to the friggin' market. And I won't name names, but it's just like there's some out there where it's just like, when are you going to release it? With Cuba, you almost forget about it.
Exactly. And until it actually comes out and you hear of different regions in the world getting it and you're like, oh, shit, that did come out. That's right.
It's like the Monte Cristo 80 Anniversario.
Yeah, jeez.
I mean, we might get it on the 100th anniversary.
Yeah.
I smoked one. I smoked one.
Right. You did. But you loved it.
I loved it. And it's like, where did it go? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, So it's, yeah, it's a messed up. It's one of those things that, you know what? They make a shit ton of money doing it. And I'll tell you one thing. This is what I'll say to defend them. You couldn't find a non-Cuban company to pull off that shit and be able to do it. I don't care who it is. I mean, Padron could not make a Reserva or a Gran Reserva to that degree. They just couldn't do it. The Fuentes, they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And those are the two companies. Those are the two companies that could even come close, and no one in the States or the world would even fucking bother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, I agree.
I mean, like, here's a great example. Let's say, I don't know, Fuente Opus X Churchill, which is supposed to be like $15, $20. Let's say what it is. Let's say next year, like, hey, we got a Fuente Opus X Churchill Gran Reserva, which is going to be $100. People are going to be like, fuck that shit.
Yeah. No.
Like, I ain't doing it. But Cuba, man, they get people from all over. Like, yeah, dude, I got it. I'll buy them.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
I think a part of that is, you know, Cuba cigars, for the most part, they hold value or they escalate in value. And I think people put their eggs in the basket in that.
Yeah.
Whereas you cannot say that with the non-Cuban cigars. Like, you know, the limited of the limiteds of Tatuaje will never, ever overall fetch for the same sort of a value, an investment value that most Habanos will have.
And I think they used to. I think they could for a while, but the problem is America and these companies in the United States, these non-Cuban companies, have gotten so damn greedy that we just get like 15,000 limitadas every 6 months.
Yeah.
It's like we have this limited edition and it's, oh, wait a minute, I got another one.
Right. Yeah, the it's funny that the of all things, the limited editions, the harder finds, is what's saturated in the market.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
yeah. Yeah, good point. All right, so let's move on. So let's talk Añejados. We have three of them. We have a Hoyo Monterey, a Hermosos number 4, which is a 127 by 48. We have a Partagas Corona Gordas. That's a Corona Gorda. A 143 by 46. A H. Upman Robusto. That's a just a regular Robusto 5 by 50. So pretty much all within, you know, standard middle of the line, regular production type stuff that's coming out in the Añejados program. What are your thoughts?
Dude, that program was exciting. And then when you smoked them, you're like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Where did we go wrong? And it's like, remember those? Have you ever had those H. Upman Robustos that came in the travel humidors?
In the travel humidors? No.
Well, they came in like that leather humidor. And then there was also like an assortment box. Those were really good.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I heard really good reviews on them, but yeah. I never had them. But yeah.
Yeah, and it's like they're really good. And now it's like, oh, we're going to make – it's like this H.M. and Robusto and Yados, and like, oh, gosh. Like, let's see what we can do to F this one up. Let's see what we can do to kill the H.M. and brand. Yeah. And, you know, and I think it goes for the Hoyo. It's definitely going to go for Partagas. It's just –
I think Añejados program soured me from the first couple of releases.
Yes. I think a lot of people were very – it's, you know, because I don't know about you, but it's like you saw that Monte Cristo Churchill, and I got super excited. Yeah. I was like, yes. Man, I'm going to have a awesome Monte Cristo in a Churchill size that's basically been box pressed. You can't get better than this. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, gosh. Never mind. I was wrong. And the Romeo was super strong. And, you know, I've said it, a lot of people say, oh, the Romeo is better than the Monte Cristo. Well, yeah, but it doesn't mean it's like good.
It is. Relatively speaking, when upon first release, the Romeo I thought was better. I thought the Monte Cristo was just downright flavorless. And I thought the RNJ was too sharp. And really, what I'm really trying to say is, I thought they both sucked.
They both sucked, and it's because of it. I think they've made a lot of people lose interest.
Yeah.
And, you know, people still buy them because people will buy about it nowadays.
Yeah. And this is the thing, man. Like, I hope that within these things, when they actually release to the public masses, meaning non-Habanos Festival samples, because I don't call those regular true production cigars, I hope that these taste good because historically it hasn't. And I'm not in a rush to get it because I know people aren't going to be rushing buying it out of stock everywhere. So if I really were to want it, I know I could pick it up, you know, at my leisure down the road.
So. Yeah. Stick with regular production stuff and you're going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. For now, I'm very, very happy with regular production. So, all right. So we'll just kind of touch upon regional edition stuff. And in terms of just, I mean, let me see. How many am I getting here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I don't even pay attention to the regionals because it's like, geez.
So there's 14 of them that's supposedly projected to come out in 16. It's we got 2 Bolivar, 2 Rey del Mundo, 1 Juan Lopez, 1 La Florida Caño. I don't know why bother, but 1 La Gloria Cubana, which I'm always excited about. 1 Quadrace, which Seth is going to buy master case of, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 Ramon and 2 San Luis Rey.
So is one of those Ramon Iones going to Lebanon?
One for sure. I can't really tell which ones are going to which one, but one of them here is called
Ramon
Iones Dubai. So
yeah, there's always Ramon Iones going to the Near East, man. It's just like the Near East and Middle East. Those guys – it's probably like a Robusto Extra or
A Sublime.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say that's the smallest. They're huge, but yeah, from my understanding, they're typically fantastic. But yeah, it's what are the Bolivars? Where are the Bolivars going?
Yeah.
No, what about the Bolivars? Did you say there's 2 Bolivars?
Yeah, there's 2 Bolivars. One's a Magic Ghost, and the other one's a Salamone. I don't know where they're going, though.
Bolivar Magicos. That'd be a good size.
Yeah, and then a Salamone. Who doesn't like a Salamone? That's made well.
That's made well, yeah. They did a Salamone Bolivar for China, like, years ago.
Yeah, right? That was ridiculously expensive. Like, no one's ever fucking smoked it, so. You know what I'm excited about is, so the Edmundo Dantes is returning for Mexico, and this one is a Bellicoso. That's going to be like 5.5 inch by 52. So I definitely want to smoke those.
That's a good, it's a small size for the Edmundo Dantes, but man, that is going to be good because they always those Edmundo Dantes are always fantastic.
Yeah. So I think out of all that, I'm mainly just going to eye when the Edmundo Dantes come out and go with that and other stuff. I mean, I'm kind of sick of going after these regional secondary red bands. Like, I mean, some of them are great. Some of them are like, why the hell did I get it? But I don't know, man. Like, the more
I've never really gone after them. You know, I did smoke that La Gloria Cubana for the Caribbean, which is good. But I'm never really going to go after them. I will buy them probably for the regions where I buy stuff from. You know, I'll get one that goes to if there's something that's going to the Netherlands or Belgium or something like that, I'll pick one up or Spain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll pick them up. But it's like I'm not going to go search the world for these damn things. I'm not going to go try and get something from China. Just not going to.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not worth it. And there's – I mean, within all these things, it's always good to know and come back to the fact that regular production is also and will always be really good.
Yeah. It's going to be solid.
Right. All right. So the big news for Habanos Festival this year, as most of you or some of you may know, is celebrating Cohiba's 50th anniversary.
And Quava's 20th, which whoever thought Quava would make it around for 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. So let's first talk about the big topic of the Cohiba 50th anniversary. So they're coming out with two special edition releases for this guy.
Probably the same cigar.
So one of them is the actual Cohiba 50th anniversary release called the Oro. And this is a cabinet humidor. And this thing is insane. You guys should, Google up what this one looks like, because it's like,
yeah, I have a picture on Habanos Critic, but yeah, it's,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like 24 karat gold and ebony.
Yeah, so these are limited to 50 cabinet humidors. So the actual cigars is 50 boxes,
50 cabinets made, 50 cigars in each.
Yep. And then the actual cabinet front is actually made out of 24 karat gold plated Ligero leaves, which is, it's like, let's just make this off the wall ridiculous and let's throw some fucking 24 karat gold on this thing.
Oh man, and it's priceless.
So within the Habano Festival that went on last week, the first humidor got auctioned off there, and it got auctioned off for 320,000 euros, which is, that's just, I can't even say, like, typically within these big ticket items, I could say, all right, guys, anybody want to get one of these and do like a box split, or I'll take a fiver. No, I can't even do that with this, because this is just absolutely fucking ridiculous.
There's 50 of these, and they're probably going to only go to like four countries in the entire world.
Right. And most of it's going to be sold to the Chinese, status businessmen. And a lot of, a good chunk's going to go to Hong Kong, I bet.
Oh, I bet.
A good chunk's going to go to China. A lot of it's going to go, to those Euro, in European countries. Like, it's going to be insane. And I even heard rumors. I don't know if this really happened or somebody could confirm that for me at this point, I guess. But I heard that within the remaining 49 other cabinets, that they were going to let the La Casa de Habano stores at the festival bid for those as well. But I don't think that actually materialized. So
if I was an LCDH retailer, you couldn't get me to bring that in.
No,
I would never do it. I mean, unless I was an LCDH in Hong Kong, maybe Tokyo.
No.
I mean, these are going to go to, in my opinion, are going to go to like China, Japan, Dubai.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, maybe. I mean, they'll end up with some really rich people who have their own airplanes. The fact
but, that, I mean, One Piece
bidding on,
you know, this especially really pisses me off, man. Like, we as enthusiasts of the leaf, we should be taking a chance to smoke these.
You want to smoke a 7-inch by 60 ring gauge Cohiba?
Fuck yeah, I do. Why not? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me more. When I see 60, it doesn't really bother me that much anymore. When I see like some freaking 8x80 bullshit, then I'm like, all right, seriously, guys, But no, it doesn't bother me. Like the Cohiba Supremos Robustos, they were like a 58 or 59 ring gauge, I think. And it's still a really delicious cigar. So, and as long as you don't put your whole freaking mouth like you're going to deep throat the damn thing, you can still get a good draw on it without making your jaw break.
Yeah, the people who will end up with these, they'll never be smoked, I guarantee it.
That's so disappointing, man. Like, I can't. And really, like, I bet you anything, when Habanos SA blended these, they're like, oh, okay. you know, we know that these are going to be fetched for a really ridiculous amount of money. And the people that's going to go to it, they're probably not really fans of Cigar anyways. And they're going to get it because they know that they could flip it down the road, or they just have it just to say that they have it.
I'm going to give Habano some credit. I bet you they're actually blended well. I bet you they're rolled really well. I bet you they're gorgeous, gorgeous cigars. How amazing they are. 320,000 for, I mean, it's, you're paying for the packaging really, but I mean, come on, man. I don't know.
All right. So we're talking $6,400 per cigar. Okay. In a USD, that translates to $7,000, a little over $7,000 for one cigar. $7,000 for a cigar.
How much is a bottle of like the Romani Contigo for, like, what, 20 grand or something like that?
Yeah, maybe somewhere like that.
So, which is, you know, but like the best Burgundy, the best Pinot Noir in the world, best wine ever made. I mean,
yeah, but that's you could enjoy with company. I mean, granted, I guess you could smoke this with in a circle jerk with like five different guys.
Dude, then smoke it with seven guys, and all you have to do is cough up a grand. That's all you gotta do. You just smoke a seventh of it. Just puff, puff, pass, dude.
A circle puff.
A circle puff, dude. Everyone's gotta do it, man. So,
anyways, dude, I mean,
if I was a young Cuban kid, I would work my ass off to try and steal some of these bands from the Liguito factory. And sell some people on the street.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, there's got to be rejects of these, which are like the rejected ones. I mean, there's got to be probably like, and, you know, and I'm sure, and, you know, the funny thing about it, those rejected ones, I guarantee you that factory workers were smoking them. And they're and they're probably like, man, some dumbass paid 65-7 grand for this shit.
Oh, you know what's funny about that is, or interesting about that? Have you been following Half Wheel's Habano Festival coverage?
No, why?
Well, I think Brooks is over there, and they said today he posted up, I think, like day three of them going to visit the El Liguito factory.
Yeah.
And he even said in the article that there was a lady there that asked him if he wanted to buy, you know, some fresh roll Cohibas, you know, kind of like on the down low, that she could hook him up for it. So,
dude, it's my buddy who's he's the retailer here in town. His brother goes to it. His brother goes to the festival. So he was down there. So his brother, and he's coming up to Greensboro. And I have actually smoked like some Siglo Sixes and Bahiques that were fresh from the Liguito factory that he brought back. They were good. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, you can, because that's where he buys them. He doesn't buy, you know, he pays like $20 and he gets a bunch of them. They don't give a shit.
Right. Right. No, that's amazing. And I would love to go do that. But anyways, I thought it was pretty interesting.
Don't you love – it's this whole – this is what makes me laugh. It's this mentality of we're going to put an embargo on this island and they're going to crumble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they basically create 50-count humidors. Sell them for 320,000 euros. And they just they dupe the capitalists. They're like, you know what? We're gonna trick you, you capitalist motherfuckers.
Yep.
Here you go, have at it. We're like,
I mean, the last laugh is on.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's totally laugh on us. And you know, and I know that might stir up some like Cuban Americans and some people in the industry and say, Seth, you're a hater, You're
man,
a,
no,
you're
we're not. No, we're not hating. It's
a fact. It's a fucking fact, right, man. I mean, you have to give them. Who else could release a 50 count humidor? I mean, it's the Cohiba name, let's be honest, but it's just no one could do that. No one could fucking do that. I don't care.
Nobody in the non-Cuban market could touch that. Not even remotely close.
All right. Oh my gosh.
It has to be Habano Sensei. It has to be Cohiba.
Yeah.
And this is sickening, dude. So let's say you take that run rate of 320,000 per cabinet, right? So you multiply that by 50. That's $16 million just off of those cabinets.
That's just, man, you got to love it.
16 million euros. 16 million euros. Just off of some freaking wood. I mean, all right, granted, they are 24K plated, but oh my gosh.
But, you know, and here's the best thing about it is that, you know, however many cigars are, let's say, how much do you think a roller in Cuba, let's say they have one roller working on all of these. And this is where you just get totally like, you find out, because when you're going down to Nicaragua,
Like 2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right. So you're going to find out roughly the cost of what a cigar, you know, how much a Nicaraguan roller makes a day or per cigar and so forth. And then you're going to find out the cost of the tobacco. You're going to find all this stuff out. And when you come back, you're going to call me and be like, oh my gosh, because I want you to think about how much that roller in Cuba got paid or how much a roller in Nicaragua will get paid and then how much they're actually selling that shit for. You'll just be like, geez. Man, living in shacks and doing what you got to do. I mean, the romanticism of the cigar industry, when you find out more of it, just fades away. I mean, it's not like
this is developing country stuff, man. This isn't like union fair wage American stuff. Like, I get it, dude. But nonetheless, when I do find out those figures, no doubt I'm going to call you and be like, dude, what the hell?
Dude,
are you kidding?
And you almost feel like first world problems when your cigar, like, oh man, my cigar's not smoking evenly. First world problem right there.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, when I'm reviewing with Aaron, right, for our website, we're like reviewing and we're talking about construction. And then I'm like, well, the draw is slightly loose for me. But it didn't inhibit any of the flavors. And then when I think about it, I'm like, wow, that's such a bitch thing to say, man. Like, nothing went wrong. The line was a little wavy on the burn. Big whoop, right?
It's like, oh, man, we got issues. So.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's what makes it fantastic. So, yeah, it's the fact of – and I remember when you messaged me and I was like – I was reading it. I was talking to my wife and she's like, gosh, you know, she's like, you couldn't even sell our house to buy that. I was like, no. I couldn't even sell my kids into like the sex ring across the world for that shit. That's how fucked up it is.
Oh, so, man. That is really fucked up, dude.
That is so fucked up. But yeah, it's, you gotta love it. I mean, it's just like,
17. All right, so translate that 60 million of US dollars, today's currency, $17.6 million just off of purely those 50 humidors. And if I remember right, Habano's SA made 428 million in all of 2015 for the whole year.
Dude, it's Cohiba's 50th birthday. I mean, that's
just, it's just like, mind blown.
It's kind of crazy to think about the Cohiba brand being like 50 years old, and it's like it's one of the youngest of like the brands out of Cuba, which is awesome. So yeah. It's,
man, the power of marketing, I tell you, man, the power that Cohiba name, it's universally known.
You have to, it's that name. It's one of those things, and that's where you have to, you know, people are talking about, oh, when the embargo ends, you know, it's like General Cigar has Cohiba in the United States.
Right.
And if they try and argue with Cuba about the Cohiba name, they're going to get dominated. I mean,
oh yeah.
No court system is going to, court systems are about to do it. That's theirs.
Right.
I know. So
this is Cuban stuff. This is Cuban heritage without a doubt. So
this is totally, it's everything from the island, man. So, but yeah. that was the big one. There was also another Cohiba release, which,
yeah. So that was for the, what we just talked about was for the A plus baller. So if you want to be an A minus baller,
A plus baller. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to be a minus baller, in which,
Duoso in 1966.
Right. So this is the Cohiba 1966 humidor, which is you get 20 cigars that are 5.9 inches by 58. So big freaking cigar.
Yeah, 1,966 humidors made.
Correct. And with this guy, I don't know the pricing. I don't think there's any disclosure on what the pricing will be, but certainly it will not be cheap.
Yeah, it's... You know, you look at the boxes that I actually like, and I know this is stupid. I actually like the boxes on these more than I do the ridiculous Cohiba box.
Yeah, it's like gaudy. You know what I mean? Like it's like it's all this.
But this the secondary band that says 50 on it. It's mm-hmm. just the font is terrible. It's like 1970s yeah. New York. It's like, yeah. Dude, what the F are you doing? But yeah, that's just another one of those. Who knows? Few people will smoke that too.
I mean, yeah, very few. I mean, basically, it's not going to be anybody that's. Well, it's not going to be me. So
I'll tell you what, if I bought one of those humidors for $320,000, I would honestly be the guy's like, so do I get like a lighter with this? Do I get an ashtray? Is it like a, you know, is it like a cigar?
Oh, you do. That cabinet humidor. I read somewhere that it comes with like a ashtray that's designed like that cabinet, and then you get like a lighter or something. You get like swag.
Yeah, you better get your swag with that shit. Wait a minute! Don't tell me the ashtray is in the humidor.
Yeah, I heard it's actually designed after the cabinet for the ashtray.
So there's an ashtray you get with it, and then there's a lighter, and you probably get like a Cuban chick for the night. So
I hope so.
You better get something. I mean,
yeah.
Gosh, you know, the guy who probably auctioned on it, because it's a huge gala dinner. You have to think he's like this super wealthy. I like to think of him as like this super wealthy Hong Kong investor or some guy who owns the air, anything above 50 stories.
I remember reading the name, but I forget what where he's from.
Either way, let's say he's from
Hong Kong. Anyways, yeah.
He's from Hong Kong. It's that night. He bought it. He's been drinking. He's been having
a good time. Hammered on Havana Club.
He's got his young girlfriend there. His wife's back home with her five kids. the next morning, he wakes up. And, you know, imagine this, like, it's probably not there. This humidor is in, like, the corner of his hotel room. And he's probably like, what the fuck did I do last time?
Oh man! Oh, but dude, I would love to. I gotta see one of these someday. Anyways,
you're never gonna see one. You're never gonna see one.
I know. Well, I didn't win the Powerball, so missed my chance.
So, all right. You know, there's enough. There's American celebrities that go down to these things. You know, like I think a couple athletes have gone down there. Big actors, they could afford it. Maybe so. Yeah,
true.
You do a movie and hey, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people that are really wealthy can afford it, no doubt. It's just, but they're not cigar enthusiasts. They're the guys that get on probably like Cigar Aficionado magazine and be like, oh, I like to puff on blah, blah, blah. So, all right, last topic. Moving away from that disgust and sadness. Last topic, Cuava celebrating 20th anniversary.
Are we really finishing by talking about Cuava?
Hey, we're trying to cover most of it, all right?
Dude, we are.
This is
one of the highlights, man. This is one of the highlights.
We're finishing off the show with a bang.
How many of these friggin' double Perfectos game in this damn thing again. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
50-count humidor.
Yep, 50-count humidor, 7x56 double torpedoes. So, again, big cigars.
You know, at least it's a big cigar for a command maneuver release. You know, I'll give them that. Guava. Heck, man, if you love guavas, you should have gone down to the festival and bid on it. So, I'm sure someone bought it. There's some people who like guavas, but.
Yeah, I mean, sure. There's something for everybody, I guess. But anyways, moving along. So
fat girls need love too. So
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, man, that's all I had. I think that's pretty much takes care of all the proposed releases.
It is. I mean, it's the big ones. You know, I think you and I are on the same page. I think the three most excited for me, Monte Cristo Dantes, the Cohiba Medio Siglo, and the Trinidad Limitada. Those are the ones
that all. And the Edmundo Dantes.
The Edmundo Dantes from the regional. So
everything else, don't really care.
No.
I mean, if I see an opportunity pop up, I'll buy a couple of sticks or so. You know, I'll try it.
But I imagine the Dantes, the Monte Cristo Dantes will be, what, like 240, 250?
At least. I think they're going to be probably push to like 28 to 27 a cigar, I would assume.
That's true. They might do that.
Yeah. I mean, because the 520s are what, like 250 when they released? Was it? Something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah.
So
the Sublimes were 250.
Really? Oh, okay.
I thought they were. I mean, that's. I got mine from Australia for like, well, maybe it's like 275 or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that.
The Medio Siglos, I think, will be overpriced, but will be fairly reasonable when looking at the Cohiba brand overall.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what. I could afford some, knowing that it's not going to be $7,000 a cigar.
Yeah, you'll be able to afford those, man. I mean, we can afford those. We're not going to go buy it. So, yeah. Jeez, ballers. Gotta love the ballers, man.
Yeah, I'm totally like mind fucked. You know what I mean? When I found out about how much that one went for, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, how do you set that?
I was trying to guess how much it would go for, and I was way off.
I expected probably half the amount of that when I originally assumed.
Yeah, mine was on the lower, less than the half. And then you told me, and I saw it. And I was like, man, that's hysterical.
Ridiculous.
I know. Anyways. I think I was like bottle feeding my infant, and my, it was like trying to get my 3-year-old to take a nap, and I was like, yeah, that's why I can't afford it. So.
Oh. Anyways, well, whoever got that, if you watch our show.
If you're watching our show, why don't you send us one? We'll smoke it. We'll review it. Heck, you could be a lucky guest. We'll invite you on the show.
Anytime
you want, you can make guest appearances. You can promote your product as long as it's not killing people. We'll promote it. Well, we don't care if you're firearms. I mean, we don't really care too much about it. But
all right.
Oh gosh.
Cool. Well, that wraps it up for us, I think.
That wraps it up. Next time when we're going to be back, I think we should do a pairing episode.
All right.
And I think we should be bold and do white wine.
Okay, we'll do white wine and the Cohiba 50th cigar.
Sounds good. I'll get my hands on the Cohiba 50th.
Cool.
Get them
on. Yeah.
All right. It's One Embargo 18th Habano Festival Breakdown. Peace.
Later.